It's only him. It's only him. And that what we're offering is him. And to be that in the midst of a selfish culture, to live out a selfless life, is going to be the light. See, God has called us to baptize the nations, which means the whole culture. Now, obviously, that's one Christian at a time. But believing that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. He's the way. And to bring that message and to live out that call is what's going to be passed on to our children. The gospel was always meant to be passed on. And Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children." And for your children. I really believe and I teach that when some of us came to the Lord, we put a stake in the ground that's going to impact our families, our children and our children's children. You know? And that takes time. I believe it's in the heart of God that our children and our children's children are disciples in the kingdom and part of the mission of the church. I used to say all the time that, God's like a loving father. And that was good until I became a grandfather. Any grandfathers in here, you know what I mean? You go nuts. There's something happens when you have a grandchild that your brain just goes, you know? And you become generous beyond generous. It's insane. I mean, it really is. First thing Kathy and I do when we travel, we get off the plane and start talking about what we're going to bring the grandchildren back. Okay? It's just, I'll tell you a story about, I preached a sermon, you can steal it if you want. We're in the backyard. My family comes over every Sunday. We're in the backyard and having a cookout. It's such a blessing, the grandchildren there. And my littlest one, Charlotte, call her Charlie, Father Allen's little girl. And she was 2 years younger. And we're getting ready to have cookout, and the ice cream truck goes by. We now have the ice cream truck on speed dial, by the way. We got his phone number. My wife got his phone number so we can call and tell him when to show up. But it goes by, and little Charlotte runs up to her mother. "Can we have ice cream? Ice cream? Ice cream?" And her mother goes, "No, we're going to have dinner." And she immediately looks around and spots Papa and comes running over and says, "Papa, can we have ice cream?" And I said, "No, honey, you can't have ice cream because your mom said you can't have it. But next time, come to me first." The sermon title is, "You Gotta Know Where Your Blessing Is." To have that loving heart and generous heart of God. See, I'm still convinced that God's plan is in that relationship of family. I still believe whatever you take, Matthew 28 is found in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. And it's not a surprise to me, that the secular humanist attack is on the family. It's not a surprising at all that the enemy has convinced us in the West that children are an inconvenience and a hardship rather than a blessing. It doesn't surprise me at all, you see, that in Western Europe there's more dogs than there are children. It doesn't surprise me at all that we even have come to naming our animals after people. That the enemy has come in and is attacking that very thing that it's not really 4,500 babies that are murdered every day. It's 150,000 children every day are murdered across the world. Whole nations have been destroyed. Now, is that a victory for the enemy or what? Just silently, slowly maneuvering in, tearing the family apart, redefining ourselves by our sexual identity. What in the world is that? Do you know in the state of New York, if you go to state college now, you have 6 gender options. You can be male, female, trans male, trans female, fluid, pan, and other. It's insanity. It's insanity. You follow? Although I think if you go to the movies or the theater, particularly while you're here, just get in the men's room line and tell ladies, tell them you feel like a man today. You'll be able to use the toilets faster. Because that's legal now. Think of this. And what's that attack on? What's that an attack on? It's an attack on the family. It's an attack on God's plan. It hit me. I was watching, here's the shift, the Grammys. I've never watched the Grammys in my entire life. I couldn't tell you a modern song, you know, and it's just that kind of stuff doesn't entertain me. But I think kids were over, and they wanted to see the Grammys. So I'm sitting there. Not this last year, year before. And the show starts with a song Beyoncé's singing, and I think it was her husband, and she's half naked, sexually gyrating around her husband who's dressed in a tux. And I said, that's an interesting image. And it goes on, and another one is just demon stuff. But it gets to the end of the Grammys, and 100 homosexual couples get married. You see? But they have this wedding ceremony. And I'm going, what in the world does this have to do with the Grammys? What is it? Well, what was it? It's spitting in the face of God. It's an attack on the family. It's a moving into our children's brains over and over and over again. This new way of thinking. And I'm going to share that too. See, I believe, I'm still convinced, and by family I mean a male father and a female mother with children. And I believe that strong families will build strong churches, that will build strong men and women, that will build strong families, that will build strong churches, that will reach out to the world and baptize the nations. I think that's God's plan. That's God's plan. And I believe the attack on a traditional family is as demonic can be, and hence it's an attack, as it's always been, on the kingdom of God and on his church. See? Now, at the same time, I also believe there's a call to celibacy and chastity. Jesus was single and chaste, and he had a fulfilled life. But the plan is in the family. And so, reflecting on that, I believe in this time, one of the things that in this time of putting this martyrdom together and putting Scripture has taken on, and I love the Scripture. Part of my trouble with the Episcopal Church was not that there were homosexuals in the church. There's been homosexuals in the church from forever. They're just closeted. But they've been there, and there's been. There's been sinners who have been ordained. Not you, but that, that's not a reason to leave the church, that there's people who are sinners, or the church is filled with hypocrites. I'm glad the hypocrites are in the church. At least they're trying to do something about it, That's not a problem. But was concerned about in the Episcopal Church was that they didn't believe in the Scriptures anymore. They left the Holy Scriptures. And for me, that's kind of like a cornerstone. And I love the scripture. I believe they're the inspired word of God and contain everything necessary for salvation. And I love my time in the scriptures and reading them. And they always speak to me. But one of the things they've taken on, if you get this kind of what I'm seeing over and you start reading the scriptures, you're going to start seeing, it's been really interesting, that all of this stuff, everything that's being talked about in them is about this persecution and trials and troubles and struggles. And you really get to see the point out of this heresy over here of prosperity and blessing and the good life. That Jesus was called almost to the opposite. Rejoice when they persecute you. Rejoice because they've persecuted me. You're sharing in my life. You're participating with me. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. See, if you're having trouble, it's not because you haven't named it and claimed it. Because in this world, you will have troubles. Got that? That's Jesus. You will. There'll be difficulties. There'll be trials. When you are brought before governors. Not if. When they bring you before governors, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because the Holy Spirit will give you those words in that time. Oh, is that just for the first century? What I'm arguing is, no, it's still going on. And we got used to, growing up in what we thought was a Bible-centered Christian culture. We forgot that there was a war going on. That some things were happening, dramatically happening in the spiritual realm. We didn't see it coming, but that it was going to be an attack that would destroy the family in America. That would immobilize the church and now put the church on the outside instead of at the very, very core. That it's gone from what I believe is a Christian-friendly country. I don't believe in some ways that America was ever a Christian country. It was a country based on Judeo-Christian values. There's never been a time, you know, that we've had this, there's like all the founding fathers went to church every Sunday, you know, and that just weren't true. But they did share this Christian value system, you know, that there was some foundation. And when I grew up, and probably most of you grew up, there was a friendliness to that. In other words, it was okay if they prayed at a basketball game. Nobody attacked that. Even if you're a diehard atheist, it was okay if you prayed at a football game or quoted the Bible. Our presidents quoted the Bible. You know, you going to church was an acceptable thing. Believing now. If you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, you're an extremist. That's what people mean by you're an extremist. That's what I mean by it's no longer this friendly understanding. It's now hostile. It's now hostile. And it's beyond that you have to accept it. See, we could all sit back. Be nice, accepting people. Well, you know, there's gay marriage. Okay, we'll just accept. No. You have to approve of it. You have to approve. And if you don't approve of what's going on. In other words, if you don't approve, it's not you can say I'm pro-life and you're pro-choice. No, if you're not pro-choice, the governor of this state has declared publicly that people who believe in traditional families and are not pro-choice are not welcome in this state. See? The governor showed up when Francis came to town. Imagine it. Showed up, stood next to the Pope with his mistress. Think of that. That's what's happening. That's what I'm talking about in terms of this. Now, if you go to the scriptures are written for such a time as this. They're starting to come alive in me in some ways that they've never come alive before. It's like reading the morning paper on what to do. It's just popping out all over the place. Because what's happening, see, too many places in the church, the scriptures are being preached as a handbook of happiness rather than the good news of holiness. I tell people, God has never, ever intended for you to be happy. I'll come back to this one too. I've heard Christian parents say this. Well, my daughter's just moved in with her boyfriend. They can save on rent. And they're going to get married in 6 months. And I don't agree with it, but as long as they're happy. What? What does that happiness have to do anything to do with it? I tried to raise my kids to be holy. God said, be holy as I'm holy. Not happy as I'm happy. And we preach this, the handbook of happiness. How you can have a better life, how you can be financially debt-free, how you can do this and do that and be happy and content and raise the perfect children. That's the one I like. That somehow, if you just obey this book, you can raise children who will not sin. Amen? You do this right, your children will not sin, and you will have become their Savior. About the Reverend Martin Luther King or the Reverend Ralph Abernathy or the Reverend Andrew Young. The civil rights movement was birthed in the church. That's where it was birthed. You know, if you look at pictures of Selma, at the front of the line are clergy, nuns, Orthodox bishops. It was birthed in this moral view that all men are created equal. That everyone has a human dignity. And that challenge then, the challenge was how do we interpret the Constitution in light of that essential moral belief? How do we make that happen? And so something changed. And the change began to take place in the 19th century, with three significant men, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, and Charles Darwin. Now, there were others, but those three, as they began to write, challenged at the core a theocentric view, and they introduced a man-centered view. So if you wanted to know who you are, for example, you didn't look to God. You looked into yourself. That's where our kids, my generation, my son too, so want to go find themselves. I remember my son came up to me and he said, I'm going to move to California because I want to find myself. I said, well, what if yourself's in Idaho? Now I want you to hear this because it has impacted your education. It's impacted every educational system, including Catholic universities, some Christian universities. It's impact the church, the whole mental health language has been immersed into Christian culture. Darwin's understanding of evolution is the accepted. No question. If you take a science course in any public school or university, you are going to be taught that evolution is a fact and that there are these people who are creationists who are idiots. But they can have their own opinion. That's taken over, and it's impacted. Here's the greatest, most people don't know this, I'm a student, I don't know how this happened, but I'm a student of Nazi Germany. And I've always been fascinated with the question, how did it happen? How could you take the most brilliant nation in the world at that time? Germans were brilliant, cultured, and in less than a decade become the most evil empire. Just like that. And so what was the foundational things that were going on? And so what happened, we all know the horrors of it. But Hitler's attack, as well as gaining land and restoring Germany, Hitler, because it was a demonic movement, his attack was on the people of God. It was the annihilation of the people of the Old Covenant and also the church. Hitler went out to destroy the church. And he even created his own church. Nazism was an attack on the people of God. And then what happened, and it's because of the influence of Darwin, they had the trial at the end. Right? And they brought the Nazis in Nuremberg. There's a scene, and people heard the horrors of the war crimes that were committed, and they were found guilty. Major leaders, they were found guilty of what? Against humanity. They didn't do a crime against humanity. They did a crime against God. That was an assault on God's people, not on humanity. And God was completely removed from the picture. And that's taught to our kids as standard course. And if you ask, what's the moral basis of a crime against humanity? What's the basis for that? That we don't like it? That's not nice. See, there is no moral basis. There's no foundation to say what's right and what's wrong. See, but if you get that core to understand that it's about God. And so when Americans returned from World War II, it was the first war that they gave credit not to God for victory, but they praised the resolve of men who defeated evil. And the greatest generation now set their minds, if they could accomplish that, they could accomplish anything. They could create a new culture and put a man on the moon and cure diseases. That man became the master of his own destiny. That years of prosperity followed and blessing, and the baby boomers were born. I was born into that prosperity. Where you are right now is the beginning of that prosperity. This is the first suburbia in America. And the dream, the American dream, was a house and two cars and sending your kid to college and getting married so they could be happy in a world when there'd be no war. And we'll keep those communists at bay. And all of that was going fine. Until the 60s. And the baby boomers took on a new cause. And we'll come back to it tomorrow. But to get a hold of that shift, because there's going to be another cataclysmic shift that's happened in the last 8 years. that's changed the ball game. So you're going to take a break until 12, and then lunch is served. And there's a Eucharist in here for intercessor people, some folks.